good morning to all of our listeners. This is Radio Caribbean International, and what an honor it is to have you in our company today. Well, getting right into it, half an hour is no time around here, and we are eager to get into the conversation with our guest this morning, Mrs. Deborah Tobier, and she is our esteemed guest on She Speak This Morning. My name is Maureen Alexander. Of course, the people, the persons, our partners who are making this possible, we can't say thank you enough to the Bank of St. Lucia or the bank you need, and Courts Bringing Value Home. A word from them, and then we come back and we start our conversation on She Speaks for today.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you and me. The St. Lucian way, we like family. Always there for you, helping you and me. B-O-S-L, nous c'est famille. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution.
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
Welcome to every one of our listeners and viewers. If you're on with us via our Facebook feed at the official page of Radio Caribbean International, welcome aboard. Might be a good time now to remind someone that She Speaks is on, and maybe share the link if you so desire or if you so wish. Okay, we're getting right into the conversation. Like I said, our guest today is Mrs. Deborah Tobier, and of course, she's a proprietor of Real Value and so much more. She didn't stop there, and we are going to be getting into all of that and more this morning, and it's quite an honor to have such a go-getter on our show this morning, because we really and truly need those sort of human, or maybe even more so ladies with that kind of go-getter sort of spirit. It really do help to inspire a lot of us sometimes along our journey. So let's go on over and say good morning. Good morning, Mrs. Tobier. How are you?
Good morning, Maureen. Deborah is fine. I'm very well, thank you.
Awesome, wonderful. Now we've broken the ice. Okay.
Exactly. Let's get into
the conversation now, Debs. Well, you know, when you want to tell me Deborah, I don't put it into my own post. So it's Debs now for you and I.
Debs is fine.
That's right.
Debs is good.
Thank you so much for being a guest on our show today, man. It's an honor.
You're most welcome. Thank you for the invitation. I think recently I've been getting a lot of opportunities to speak, and like you said, I think it's very important. As a matter of fact, recently one of the things was that I spoke on a podcast with Antoine Masra, who is also involved in property development, and I think he was pretty impressed. He enjoyed the show, but it also was an opportunity for me to share a lot of the things that I experienced, but also in a way that I can help somebody who is considering that type of investment.
Absolutely.
I think it's very important that when we gain the expertise and we, maybe avoid some of the pitfalls, it's very important that we do pay it forward and we share our expertise and our experiences with others.
Well, we are honored, and that's exactly what we have roped you in. But first, we'd like to get to, get a little bit more personal with you. Like, we'd like to know a little bit more about you, because this is probably the image that everybody knows and see you in that form, but this is not where it started. Of course, your childhood, what were you like as a child? Where did you grow up, and what kind of household, what were you like as a child? What was growing up like for Debs?
Okay. Well, I was actually born in St. Lucia, 1971. So this year will be big 50th.
Oh, all right.
And yes, and born in the community of Auger. Mm-hmm. My father hails from Beaufort. My mom is from Auger, so Chitoli and Vitalis. Mm-hmm. And grew up in St. Lucia from the first 5 years of life. Mm-hmm. In 76, my parents had an opportunity to move to the U.S. My father actually went ahead of us. So he went via St. Croix, and I remember that, well, in fact, I was told, maybe I don't have very good memories of that, but we actually went to St. Croix so we would get the necessary documentation to travel on to meet him while he was at university in Seattle, Washington, where he did his associate's degree. So a lot of people find it very strange because if you look at the U.S. in relation to St. Lucia, Seattle is in the Pacific Northwest. So all the way on the diagonal far side of the northwestern U.S. So, but I think those formative years were very important as well. We grew up, myself and my two brothers, until we repatriated St. Lucia in 1985. I was 14 at the time. I can tell you I wasn't thrilled about the move. I remember distinctly.
Because you're kind of used to love the, your new space.
It's what we knew. It's what we knew. But I, you know, after a little while, it became something that, even though I did travel out when I married very, very young, travel out maybe at the age of 17, to the United States in, to Miami. And I had my first child at that age, just before I turned 18. Second child, age 19, and third child at age 21. Now, a lot of people, you know, when they look at where we are today, they probably would not have known that, you know, I started very young as a mother. Yes, and a wife. A lot of people think that being in business, you know, you don't expect that somebody who, you know, even at the time, people might have thought that the worst would happen because, you know, I didn't finish my schooling. I did finish at secondary level, did my CXCs and so on, but I didn't pursue tertiary, for the education, right? But when we came back to St. Lucia in 1995, that was when I started working for my parents who had Shop and Save in Viewfort at the NIT building. And they also had Builder's Choice that they opened just 3 years prior in 1992. And it was really maybe a 2.5 year stint. We had, you know, some differences in views at the time. I guess I was very ambitious even then, not having had experience in business. You know, there was a little butting of heads and stuff, but again, as they always say, you know, that's the history. You know, when we parted ways, and that would have been in 1997.
At what age were you at that? You were grown now, and this was going to be your stepping into your own business.
Correct.
Right. So but before 20, we get into that, though, I want to bring you back a little bit before we get into that. We're definitely going to come to that. But I'm curious. Listen, you put a little thing in my head there, and Debs, we're running past that. Then I want to know what's going on. You got married pretty young. What prompted that? What prompted that young getting married so young? I don't know. I mean, I want to know.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, I was a very good student and so on. I was very popular in school because I guess, you know, you come from the States at, as a teenager and so on, right? But, you know, there was this young man at the time. I mean, it wasn't something that was really looked on as a good thing at the time. But he was 22. I was 16 when we met. And, of course, there was the whole thing, you know, of parents being very, very unhappy, understandably so. It's funny how life, you know, things, you know, well, what they say, God works in mysterious ways, and life turns out a particular way, because when you think about the initial choices that you make that maybe people predicted doom for you, and you look back on your life, I mean, I can say the three beautiful children that we brought into the world, and now
and
my two granddaughters.
This has been your husband to date?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So 32 years on Saturday.
How did your parents feel afterwards when they realized, of course they would have been mad, because 16, 22, I'd have been mad, you know, but based on the culture in which we grew up as well. But how did they feel? Did they eventually grow to accept it?
Exactly, they did. It took a while, and I mean, especially because we had, you know, the little separation in 97. But once we were reconciled, it became something very common that suppliers would ask us, but wait, you are in the same business your parents are in. I'm like, long story, but all's well that ends well.
Wonderful.
So we developed
all
a very
good relationship. How were you processing all of that? Did you feel pressure? Did you feel, because your parents wouldn't have accepted that you were 16, or were you just headstrong and saying, this is what I want, I know, and I believe in this, and I'm going for it?
Always been headstrong, Maureen. Always been headstrong from a very young age.
Wow.
I think it's probably one of the traits that has helped me to come through a lot of problematic issues, business-wise
along
and otherwise. Yeah, along the way.
This is beautiful. Mm-hmm. What to your sister? Were you the older one? Your sister was the youngest.
No, I'm eldest and actually two brothers. Unfortunately, we lost my baby brother back in 2002. He was actually working with my company at that point. My parents wanted him to come back, but he was with us for about 2.5 years before he passed away in an accident at the end of the year. So now I have it's myself and my brother, who's a year younger than me, who resides in Connecticut.
Right. Okay. And you yourself have kids now. You have two children. Is it two or you have
three children?
Two girls
and a boy. And then I have two granddaughters. My eldest granddaughter, Evelyn, she will be 4 years old this Saturday, incidentally. And my second daughter, granddaughter. I call them my daughters, by the way. They're my children. But my second granddaughter, right now she's a year and two, almost 3 months. On the 12th, she'll be a year and 3 months.
Yeah.
And what I was telling you about, despite, the early years, now it's such a wonderful thing that my granddaughters have two sets of grandparents, so paternal and maternal grandparents.
Right. Right.
And one set, that's my parents, of great-grandparents.
There you go.
It's three sets. I mean, it's almost like a competition, who gets the grandkids.
Exactly. Wonderful.
Yeah, so it's a blessing.
It's a blessing to have had your kids at that young age, because the generation, they've lived to see a lot more of the generation in there, isn't it?
Exactly.
Wow,
exactly.
This is amazing. So let me tell you what we do.
Yes.
Because we're eager to come back and talk about your business journey. So we will take a word from our sponsors, the Bank of St. Lucia, the bank you need, of course, and Quartz, bringing value home. And then we'll come back and we'll get into your startup into the world of business.
Sure. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I love my community. It teaches you the importance of being together even through difficult times. Business owners doing their best to make it through. Fishermen and farmers working hard to put food on our tables. Nurses caring for the sick shows me who we are made of. People who care. I guess it's about growing together.
Bank of St. Lucia is inspired by the strength of the communities in which we live and operate. We are happy to be part of these communities, and we will continue to serve you. Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
Caribbean International. This is She Speaks for yet another Blessed Tuesday. Our guest today is Mrs. Deborah Taubier, and we have an awesome chat this morning. We're about to get into her startup as a business, an entrepreneur, and to date she has grown tremendously, not just in one field, but in different fields in the world of business, and she certainly is an inspiration. Diane Chaiten, good morning.
Thank you.
How are you, darling? So welcome back, Mrs. Taubier. Let's get now into it. So you came back and...
Marianne, what happened to Debs? I thought we were on a first name basis.
Debs! Oh, yes, Debs! What's wrong with me, man? I'm losing it here this morning. Debs, welcome back. No, let's get
Thank
into
you.
That, because you came back with all your excitement and your strong head and your strong-willed mentality and personality, and you joined your parents, and that didn't work out.
Sure.
So take us from there.
Yes. Well, we started with very, very humble beginnings. We actually, after a couple of field attempts with other people over, let's say, about a year and a few months, we had a very small investor come to us directly. Mm-hmm. And what we used the investment proceeds for was just the acquisition of a used truck. Mm-hmm. And also to outfit a warehouse building with the necessary little office and hardware area to start a similar business because, you know, it's what I knew. We actually incidentally paid off that investor in just a couple of years using overdraft funds, not something I would advise people to do because you should not make capital purchases, but we did do it at the time. We paid him, you know, 100-220%. So, you know, I've never had an investment that made that kind of money in a short term like that. Mm-hmm. But because it was not working out and he did not understand the business, it was prudent for us to actually pay him off very handsomely. Mm-hmm. We did get advice from our solicitor at that time just saying, you know what, just let it go through the court system. They'll assess maybe 6%, 12%. But we, you know, I'm always a strong believer that you must recognize people who have given you that step up.
Yes.
And I think that that's probably something that has formed my business philosophy over the years. When we started, we basically had just a couple trailers on credit from our suppliers who really attributed a lot of the success with the handling of the business operations prior to our presence there. And so they had the confidence in actually giving us an open line of credit.
That's what I'm saying. You would have had to have a solid background to have been able to have them put that kind of confidence in this big equipment. That's a lot of money.
Maureen, just in a short 2.5 years, at a very, very young age. I mean, by this time, 98, I'm just turning 27.
Exactly.
Right? Yes, and I think that they understood that I'm a very deliberate. I mean, I remember being very frightened about those terms coming due.
Right.
But here's what I think was different. When we were looking at the investment, initially before the old Borais building came up as an option, we were trying to get a loan. Mm-hmm. And that is the first time I've been rejected for finance. That was with Barclays at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember that they sent the reasons why that the market was already saturated and they did not see why a business like this was really needed in that community environment. So the bank basically said that they could not see me succeeding with the existing players, you know, which were, of course, Builder's Choice, which we were no longer associated with. We had American Drywall. At the time, Essential Hardware was operating, had Fred's Lumber, and there was another lumber and hardware construction depot that we actually were instrumental in opening ourselves.
Right.
So I remember writing like a 5-page rebuttal to the managing director, who was a Mr. King at that time, and still we did not get through with the loan. So that's why we started with just the funds that we had available. Meaning that we had to depend on that open line of credit. You know, shortly after, it was maybe 6 months that we were able to negotiate an open line of overdraft. And it's the same thing. The then manager of CIBC said that he just had to sit with me for an hour and a half and know I knew what I was talking about. And I mean, that was almost unheard of in that time that you would not have a land secured. So we had no assets to our name, essentially, you know. But I think that as a foundation, what I've always centered every decision that I make around is enhancing the environment for all of those individuals that I credit my success to, okay? So it sounds kind of cliche, Maureen, I always say, but first and foremost, it is your customers, okay? No matter what type of business, whether it's products or services that you supply, you always have to look at your customer satisfaction as the number one priority. It's the thing that will help you to decide what you need to invest in, how you put money back into the business to grow the business, and so on. It's really the driving force of all decision making, and it has been for us during the 22-year career, right? So starting with the humble beginnings, I remember distinctly that even though we had the little tiny office, 9x8 office, and in a little L-shaped counter with a manual cash register. Uh-huh. And we had skeletal staff at the time, just a couple of salespeople and then a couple of porters. Mm-hmm. I was mindful that the building was not really conducive to the type of business I was in. Right. So very early o'clock, I'm already leveraging and looking at ways and means of trying to expand even in the early life of the business.
Right.
To the point that we acquired property in 2000. We attended the start turning for Seven Shores Development, mm-hmm. which unfortunately, you know, it was a development that was well subscribed. A lot of, you know, business people bought into the business community, mm-hmm. into the actual, the commercial area.
Right.
But, ultimately, because of airspace infringement, mm-hmm. it never, well, we were never able, we were the first people building there, right? We actually had a bank loan, everything.
It was close to the airport or something like that?
It's actually in line with the flight path.
Oh,
it's in the line of the flight path.
Right.
It was a very, very promising area, but I guess somebody did not do their due diligence, and, you know, they came to me and said, just when we were about to erect our building, having procured, you know, all of the steel and fabricated it, we had the platform and everything, and we were not able to. And, you know, what ensued was we sought legal advice, but, you know, there was a lot of back and forth because everybody was trying to shift the buck. We had our approvals from the Development Control Authority at the time. You know, we had purchased outright from Invest St. Lucia, which was then NDC.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so everybody was trying to blame the other entity.
Oh, okay.
So what ultimately happened is we were paid, you know, barely over what we had actually expended to date,
mm-hmm.
unlike some people who say that we got millions of dollars in startup capital.
I heard that a little bit there, you know. I did. I think at some point in time, when I made the connection through that, I did.
$500,000, you know.
That's not your
business. So basically, to pay off for the lot and the deposit on the other lot, and then what we had invested in the foundation to date and so on.
Wonderful.
Right? But you know what I think is really important, Maureen, that even at that time, rather than become bitter
mm-hmm.
and obsessed, and I think that's something that, you know, maybe sometimes we as human beings tend to do. I was very adamant that, you know, I would do the best that I could to get out of that. And then look what presented itself. At the time, our landlord, you know, the owner of the building had passed away,
mm-hmm.
and shortly after, his son, who was heir to the property, actually unsold it to his nephew, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And his nephew was looking at redeveloping it because it was a very dilapidated row of warehouse buildings. At that point, we were already occupying, I think, about four of them at a cost about $10,000 in rent a month. And I remember when Mr. Brian Daher came to me, you know, he was more interested in trying to see what my views were about continuing as a tenant,
mm-hmm.
Which I was not so, you know, thrilled about, especially coming out of the Seven Shores fiasco.
Right.
But, you know, still in just speaking to him back and forth, he finally decided in 2003 to allow us to purchase from him. At even considerably lower than what he was in agreement with his uncle. So again, you see how it turned out that rather than purchase at the $1 million.
Somebody might be listening, and they might be saying at this point in time, they say, "Oh well, all right, they just had life made, like, you know, it sounds okay. We don't have that, so she probably had a gold spoon out because of who her parents was. She was able to get that kind of funding. What say to me who don't have that kind of privilege? Because I doubt I would be able to go to the bank. What would you say to defute that kind of mentality in somebody right now that might be listening? I say, well,
Fair question, Maureen.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it like this. The way you conduct yourself
mm-hmm.
and the discipline you demonstrate,
mm-hmm.
No matter how much you may struggle at times, will always be what your calling card is. I don't think at that time it was anything like, I certainly wasn't a boy, you know, or a name that was really known before. I think that what really spoke for me is that I immersed myself in understanding financial management of a business. And I think it always really stood out to bankers. To a day like today, even, you know, there's a period
mm-hmm.
that even after all of the successes that the bank was just not playing ball anymore. Years 2013 to 2017,
mm-hmm.
and it was merely because of, you know, what Bank of St. Lucia, your sponsor, had experienced in way of, you know, failed investments, failed loans, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the customers of the bank felt, especially good customers of the bank, felt that they were being all, we were all being treated the
penalized.
Same. Yes,
despite
our individual records, right?
Right, right?
Now, I mean, the bank will not appreciate me saying this, but I'm always very, very forthright mm-hmm. and honest about my experiences.
I think I've made a lot of improvements since then, so that's fine. We're talking about
yes,
back then.
And not only that, I mean, I have stuck with them through thick and thin.
Well, there you
so
go.
So despite being very, very displeased about the treatment of my accounts at the time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I kept on, again, with the discipline of managing everything with the high overdraft that they would not hive off onto fixed capital loan, which mm-hmm. is basically just moving around money. It's not actually giving me new finance per se, right? And, you know, they went through a lot of transition themselves. I mean, they had different people leading the bank at that point.
Yes.
So there were a lot of issues that they were experiencing. I don't think it's that I didn't have the cooperation or the understanding from my immediate corporate manager and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, again, the dynamic. But what remained constant mm-hmm. was my commitment to maintaining all of my obligations despite having invested into land that was not selling mm-hmm. and all that was developed, and despite, of course, having decline in my revenue associated with the True Value operation. So the juggling act was pretty intense for a number of years.
But you,
could you imagine
what you think made you stand out is the fact that you made it your business to have an understanding of what it is you were getting into. So when you were going to negotiate to get those funds and to get what people might say is what do you call it? What do you call it? Favors or big favors mm-hmm. that they might not be privy to. It really wasn't favors. It was just a matter of you taking the initiative and equipping yourself so that when you make your case, it could be a good one.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
I mean, even to the point, Maureen, that my accountant at the time, mm-hmm. if I was looking for new finance, let's say for acquisition of the property, which I recognized was a land purchase, that's the main True Value property, right?
We're almost out of time, by the way, but let's
wow.
go. So True Value was formed, and it grew into not just a one-off business, but it really did expand into a bigger thing. And it didn't stay there for you as well. You went into real estate as well, innit?
That's right.
And that was how many years after?
2009. So I guess that would have been about 12, 13 years later.
Right.
It seemed to be a good investment at the time, but it was unfortunately, again, just when things really slowed down in real estate in St. Lucia, in the region, not just St. Lucia, right?
Right.
But, you know, remember we had those boom years maybe in the early 2000s,
uh-huh.
right? Of course, after the global financial crisis,
mm-hmm.
we experienced the ill effects on our local economy maybe about 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when we launched Emerald Vista in 2011.
Right. Mm-hmm. Emerald Vista, there's another one as well in it.
Thomas Cove, and that's again where speak to resilience and saying that even despite our first experience and the fact that we're carrying those loans subsidized heavily mm-hmm. by the business and also my parents,
right.
Who owned Builder's Choice, for many, many years, they had so much confidence in my vision for that community development mm-hmm. that we serviced the loans jointly.
Oh,
so imagine they actually came on board and helped.
That is
so I did get assistance from them for many years in making sure that I could meet those obligations. But after we realized what was happening with Emerald Vista, in 2016, I decided to launch an investment that was geared more towards a middle income market. I mean, I can tell you, Maureen, a lot of people thought, no, you've lost it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because they're like, you know, with what you're experiencing and how difficult it has been to manage the financial obligations associated with the investments, why would you go into another land development? And that has really been the very successful development. It has given a product offering at a particular price point
mm-hmm.
that suits the market. So more a middle income initiative.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes. And it, very compact homes, 1,500, 1,800 square feet on about 6,000 square foot of land. So we recognized that this was something that was more marketable. And then to date, which we're only about 5 years on, January 2016 is when we started the roadworks in what was raw land at the time.
Wow.
We are on our 13th build in the community.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's fair to say that this is just a passion. You don't look like you're about to stop. I think you will only stop when the breath of life has been cut off. Because it seems like it's just like a passion. Once you've gotten accomplished one, it seems like you have to move on to the next one. Is that what it is? Am I getting this right?
Yes, I think you're probably right. You're probably right, Maureen.
So yeah. Do you plan to head on into different fields? Have you been looking at different areas, different fields that you might want to venture in? So far, you've done the real estate, you've done the true value. Have you seen any other field, maybe business-wise, you might want to venture into?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking at things that are actually in some way associated to ensure, vertical integration and horizontal integration in our investment portfolio. Mm. But I also want to expand into another type of housing. So still real estate, mm-hmm. but more geared at what I would consider even a service to your community. I'm really, really of the view that you can use the traditional methods of building instead of investing heavily into like precast plants and, have a dual benefit of providing low-income housing to young couples who are just coming up where it's not much more than rent. But, there's not a huge profit component, but it's something that you can do because you streamline the processes and you create avenues for employment. Well, so that's my next thing.
Wow. Yes. Well, I am so... Mm-hmm. Listen, I think we're going to have to rope you in a little further along the line. We need more time to discuss all of that. And by the way, I don't know why this popped in my head, but I'm going to ask Debs, you have any plans of heading into the politics?
Not currently.
The way I see Theo doing and handling vibes there, so to me, we need persons like yourself into that field, man.
The
whole housing processes and putting it together. This is one of our biggest problems within these parts, man. I think we don't create enough avenue where our people can actually own their own homes. It's difficult for young people to do that. And I think you've got this one locked down.
Very true,
maybe
for many reasons.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just
you never know.
It was an honor. And just before I would like you to just give you an opportunity to, just speak to people. Because in this COVID time, a lot of people are hopeless. A lot of people are, they're on the verge of, giving up or being burdened down with everything that they face with. But maybe someone like yourself could give them a little upliftment as to, to help keep them going.
Yes. Well, it has been a very difficult period, but what my view is that we must keep looking at the long view. It's not going to be forever. If we, instead of concentrating or thinking doom and gloom, and even a lot of the media, unfortunately, Maureen, what you hear is a lot of negativity. There seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel.
I said that, I said that we don't understand the power that we hold and we play it into the whole negative. And it has a really, really, it has an effect.
It can have a lot of people might be, suffering with depression. Mm-hmm. But I would say is that, once you're doing the right things, you're also looking at yourself, what you're doing for yourself, for your family, and so on, and that you have faith and confidence that things will improve, it will eventually improve. So we have to hold out that hope and always be the best that we can be in everything that we do.
Wonderful. And always equip yourself. Don't think that people are born with gold spoon. Equip
yourself
before you head into whatever you want to head into and give yourself the advantage.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power, absolutely. Debs! Thank you so very much. It was an honor having you today. And
you're most welcome. And thank you for the invitation.
We commend you.
Thank you. That's appreciated.
Some resilience going on right there. And it certainly is inspiring. And we hope that we could have you around for some more time where we can rope you in a more meaningful way to so people can hear more of you. I'm glad that you're now doing the speeches and stuff like that.
Yes.
So maybe more people will be impacted by your wealth of knowledge as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Maureen. It's been great.
Wonderful. Absolutely.
Have a good day.
I will. You too. I'll come to True Value sometime. When I come, don't be for that.
Come look for me.
I definitely will.
All right, take care.